Good morning, good afternoon, guys. Back from another Geek Tavern. As always, it's me, Sean. I'm joined by Mike.
Yo.
And Aaron. And today we'll be having a spoiler discussion of Aaron's recommendation, 2016 film directed by Shane Black, The Nice Guys. So.
Yes, which coincidentally is what Shane Black's weird friend refers to himself as.
A nice guy.
A nice guy.
Yeah, exactly.
My recommendation was the 2016 film The Nice Guys, directed by Shane Black, as Sean said. This is one of my favorite movies of recent years. And every time we watch it, we always don't know what the plot actually is. We just know that Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling are solving a mystery. But every time we watch it, I'm like, and we said this when we were watching it, I love this movie, but I don't remember what happens in it.
Yeah, I think this is the third time that I've watched it.
This is the
third or fourth time I've watched it. And going into it, I was like, I know they're solving a mystery. Completely forget what the mystery is about.
Yeah, every single time. But I mean,
the movie is less about the mystery and more, I think, about the chemistry between
just them building.
Yeah, Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling as Jack Healy and Holland March. Those characters are just fantastic.
Yeah.
This was, I don't know if I said this when you said it. I had never seen this movie.
I think you said you never watched it.
I remember the previews, you know. I wanted to see it
because
it looked hilarious.
The preview sold me on it, but I never saw it in theaters. I watched it later on. I think Josh bought it.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters. And then I think, the second time it was after it was released on Blu-ray. But
I was pretty sold on the trailer. And then when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is now one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. So I watched it with the other Aaron, and he kept turning to me because it's funny that you guys said what you said. Because he's like, what the hell is this movie about? I don't know.
And I thought about it, too. And I was like, if we were crunched for time and we couldn't watch it, I was like, I'll wing it. And then I went, I don't even know what happens. Yeah. I was like, I have no idea. Like, and I don't think that bodes badly for the film.
No.
Because the film is great.
Oh.
The movie's fantastic. It's just, there's a lot going on. And I remember how much I liked the movie, but I don't remember, like, the plot. I remember, like, spoilers, John Boy. I remembered him at the end, but I didn't remember Keith David was in the movie until like watching it. And I was like, oh yeah, he's the other bad guy. I was like there were just so many things that. And you said something about the towards the end of the climax with the hand grenade pin.
Oh yeah,
because you audibly went oh like you had completely forgot that happened.
Yeah, whenever John Boy and Healy are fighting on top of that like bridge, he like rips his jacket off and he has like a grenade pin in his finger. I was like wait, I've seen this movie like four times.
I think that might be a plus for the movie, is because you don't remember certain things, so it's like watching it the first time, like
every time you watch it, it's almost like you're watching it for the first time again. And that's awesome.
Which I mean, like, I'm sure a lot of people could watch this movie and then go, I don't remember jack shit that happened, and went one star.
See, but I'm like, usually like that. I feel like I remember most everything for this
movie. Like, now that it's fresh in my mind,
I mean,
I'm trying to, like,
I literally just watched it, like, 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
So.
We just watched it last night.
Yeah.
So. So the story basically is Holland March is a PI, and kind of Russell Crowe is a PI. He's just kind of like a gun
he's
for hire.
He's hired muscle.
He just goes in and just beats the crap out of people.
Pretty much a hitman without actually killing
anybody. He just goes in and roughs them up a little bit and tells them, hey, stay away from this person. And then they're like, okay. So they meet because somebody pays Healy to go into March's house. And give
him
a message.
I think that's a part of the confusion, because Amelia, like the main MacGuffin, if you will, hires Healy to get these guys off of her back. And I think that it's actually like John Boy and his crew.
Yeah, he
like it's Blueface and Keith David is who she wanted off of her back, but he goes to Holland March and beats him up instead.
But he also, well, that wasn't even the confusion, because doesn't he get attacked by Blueface and
first? Yeah.
Oh, after.
Well,
after
he
that was after,
because
he broke
his
arm
and
took
he gets the whole case of Yoo-hoos because of Holly Gibbs. him one after he breaks his arm.
He hadn't had one in 30 years.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things. All right, give me your left arm. No. And he's like, he breaks it, and he just like, Ryan Gosling screaming in this movie, too, is like one of the best things ever.
Now, later on with the car.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about it. He's dreaming. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
That's a bizarre segment of the movie.
I was like, what did this movie turn into? So in that scene, he's dreaming. I don't even know if they set it up. I mean, I might have looked at my phone.
I don't think
they like slowly ease into it because it begins with Healy saying like, you know, they drive themselves now. And then at that point, like the first time
I was like, what?
I was like, just lights up a cigarette. Like a weird alternative, like 60s that they're living in. But then obviously
Hannibal Buress
is the huge CGI bee shows up. I was like, oh, this isn't real.
Yeah. I was like, what's happening?
I thought that maybe like originally when I first watched this, I thought that maybe like somebody had like drugged him or something.
Right, yeah.
And he was hallucinating. And then whenever he's like, Mark, wake up! And he's like, what? And then they wrecked the car, which was a plus because otherwise they're
that's the part though where he screams like a little girl,
yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then whenever they wreck, the briefcase flies out and opens, and that was a nice point of writing there to have that happen so that they realized, yes.
And I verbally said out loud, I was like, oh no, not all the money. And then like when it started falling on the car in the next shot, I was like, oh wait, that's not money.
Yeah, it's just like magazine clips.
Yeah.
This movie is very much like, I don't know if either of you have watched it before, Fletch with Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
It's a very tangled web of the same like demeanor where the people who hire them are the people who are actually behind the whole thing, and they're trying to like take them out because they're getting too deep into it.
Yeah.
So it kind of has that reminiscence of Fletch to it. And I mean, it's a comedy. This movie is, by all intents and purposes, a comedy.
Yeah.
And it's an action comedy, I guess.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, mystery action comedy.
It really has.
Yeah,
I
didn't really know about the whole mystery side of it going into it. And I was just pleasantly surprised with that.
Well, see, and that's Shane Black's whole deal. Like, he did that with Iron Man 3.
Mm.
He wanted there to be the mystery behind it and everything, and he did it with this. And I think he tried to do that with Predator, and it just didn't work at all.
This does fall into one of Shane Black's pitfalls that he has, where it's set at the holiday season for some odd reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I guess it's like 3 months later that it's Christmas time at the epilogue of the film, but he had to shoehorn that holiday season in there.
Yeah.
It's because Shane Black failed to make Iron Man 3 a Christmas movie.
I mean,
so
it was
really
a Christmas
trying
movie.
It is.
And
no,
then,
it is.
The new Predator movie is a Halloween movie because it happens on Halloween night.
No.
I never did see that.
I didn't. Don't.
So that's just like something that he does with all of his movies.
I don't know if I've seen the whole original Predator, just so you guys know.
did the original Predator take place during the holidays?
So.
Or
no.
Is that what
Shane Black didn't direct that one. He was in it, though.
What? Was Kiss Kiss Bang Bang a holiday?
I don't remember.
I've only seen that once as well.
Yeah. A good movie. Good movie.
Yeah, from what I heard.
Similar to The Nice Guys. Forget what happens in it.
I was gonna say I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah, I remember good acting.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
I know it's a mystery, and yeah, I know people die in that
just
movie too.
Kudos to Shane Black for making it feel like I'm watching the movie for the first time every single time.
Yeah, which is kind of something to say how it isn't like usually that it would be a detriment to the
yeah,
movie.
That, that's,
but
yeah,
well, yeah, usually it'd be a bad thing. Like,
exactly.
Oh, it's so boring I can't remember what happened.
But that's the nice thing about it.
Maybe it's because it's so convoluted. Because it's like you just
shit's
like
just happening everywhere.
It's
like
hard to like remember all these things that happen. Like,
maybe that's it. Like he's just like it makes you want to rewatch it because subconsciously you have no idea what happened.
Right.
So like every time, like I could watch this movie and then a week later somebody could say, "Hey, explain this movie to me," and I'd be like, "Like I don't remember."
The seedy underbelly of the pornography industry and catalytic converters poisoning
the air. Yeah, some people in gas masks pretending to be dead, I don't know.
And I've watched this movie 4 times, and I do not remember any of that stuff until, like, I go back and watch it.
I remember set pieces, like, I obviously remember the protest part of the movie, but I always forget, like, why that is.
The fight in the hotel, where they walk in, and John Boy is just killing everyone in there by himself, and then throws the one guy out the window while they're going down the elevator.
He just falls.
They just hear him scream, and they're like, and then you just see Ryan Gosling just...
Yeah, he's like shaking.
He's like shaking at that point.
I think it's funny how like Ryan Gosling is like set up as like the more successful of the two, but he is just even like completely useless.
Yeah, he's
more of a blithering idiot than Jack Healey is.
Yeah,
like Jack Healey is actually a competent in what he does, but he is just like, maybe it's because he's a gruff looking dude and he beats people up for a living, but people like don't look at him the same way or with the respect that they do of Hall and March. But
yeah
he's like a total alcoholic loser, like he has his daughter driving him around everywhere. Like,
which how was his
daughter? His like 12-year-old daughter is driving him around everywhere. I mean, it was the 70s. I mean, nobody cared.
I mean, that's kind of what I kept telling myself, but I was like, how old is she again? Like,
yeah,
13, I think.
Yeah,
is how old she was.
There was a couple, there are a couple really good moments to the, like, really, really good moments to the, like, after, Ryan goes, anytime, that's another part that I like in the movie, is anytime somebody says, hey, free drinks, what do you have? Like, he goes, like, whips around, like, oh, and that comes back into play later, where he tricks Keith David into thinking that he's shit-faced. And then they go up to the rooftop, and then he's like, he tells his daughter, he's like, duck. And she's like, what? Duck. And then he like tackles him and just starts to like, he smashes a chair over him first and then beats the hell out of him.
They did a great job setting that up, because even I was like, oh, you know, there he is again.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I even thought that too. Cause I was like, oh, I didn't remember that he got shit faced here. And then when he goes up to the roof, it started to come back to me. I was like, oh, he plays him here. And then he hits him.
I think that what plays even more into him being an idiot in that scene is Keith David's falling off the roof, and he has like a hold of Holly and everything, but then like he jumps after him to like stop that, and Keith David just lets go of her, and like she doesn't fall off, but he like dives off the building to try and save her.
That sets up that whole montage of him just being extremely fucking lucky for the rest of that, because so much shit happens that he just like scot-free, like he lands in the pool and then sees Richard Nixon, he's like, no, and then like swims out of the pool, which I guess is something that we should talk about, because that's funny in itself. Because
I think the funnier part of that part is when he hides behind the car, but it's on a fucking wheel.
Oh, and then he gets up, and it like turns like completely like 90 degrees. He's on the wrong side. So Healey tells March this story about guy, it was a bad car wreck or something, and Richard Nixon was passing by or whatever, and he went up to the guy, and the guy was like pinned under the car or whatever. And he came over to him, and he's like, you're gonna be all right. And then he said, at that moment, he died. And then he said, like, the whole point of the story was, he's like, oh, you expect to see an angel when you're gonna die, and you see Richard Nixon instead. He's like, yeah, the point was, two ways of looking at it.
Yeah.
And
why don't you just say that?
Yeah, well, yeah. Why don't you say it? You led me on this convoluted story. You just say there's two ways to look at something. And then that's what's funny about it, is he lands in the pool and is like swimming around, and he sees Richard Nixon like swimming towards him, like pointing at him, and he goes, no! And then like turns around and swims back out.
I think the chemistry between the two characters is really what elevates the movie.
Oh, yeah.
The banter between each other.
Yeah.
Like you saying that part where he's like, why didn't you just say that? Reminds me of whenever he's like, oh, a murder at the airport, West Airport, whatever, that would make national news. And he's like, yeah. He's like, when was the last time you were on national news? He's like, February. He's like, why? I got shot in the shoulder at the bar or the diner. Don't you remember? He's like, no, I told you this last night.
Because he zonked out while he was telling him the whole story.
Yeah.
Remember that? That's kind of funny that you bring up their chemistry, because if you ever watch the interviews that they did with each other, like promoting this movie, they're hilarious.
I believe.
And then like there was at one point, Russell Crowe was in like Australia or wherever, and he wasn't able to like accept his award for whatever it was, the Oscars or Golden Globes or something, and he wasn't able to accept his award there. So he was like doing the interview like via satellite, and he was talking, and like Ryan Gosling just like walks up behind him, like he had no idea he was there, and he just like steps in beside him and it's like looking at the camera, and then he's like, what the hell are you doing here? And then he starts like talking over him and shit like that. Like it was great.
I really wish, like you bring that up, I really wish that they would make a sequel to this movie.
Yes.
Like this would be a good, like, I think, franchise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because like it's a great period piece as it is, because like there were scenes where they're just like driving through like Hollywood, and it's like 70s Hollywood. Like
that was definitely one of the cooler things that I liked about it.
Yeah, it's very immersive, puts you in that time period.
Yeah.
I think it would be great. I mean, what was it? It's 5 years from now. They could do, like, they could make it, like, a sequel 5 years in the future. Maybe their joint PI business is suffering.
I think it was roughly 76, 77, because I remember seeing
78, because that's when the car show was.
Okay. Maybe, was the Cars... It might have been 77, because it might have been 78's Cars.
It could have
come out a year early. Because I remember seeing a billboard saying 77, something 77.
Damn, if they had driven past a theater, if it had said Star Wars, we would have known.
They drove past the comedy club at the end, and it had Tim Allen on the billboard.
Yeah.
I caught that for some reason. I don't know why.
They drove past the Comedy Store, which is very famous comedy club in Hollywood.
Yeah, I just saw Tim Allen's name, and then I saw Santa Claus. I was like, okay.
The Santa Claus.
I was like, that's a little too much on the nose. I don't know why.
That is. It's an odd reference.
Like, you see the shot of the comedy club, and then he drives up, and then there's a Santa Claus on the side of the road.
One thing I love about the epilogue is the entire movie, up until this point, Healy is, like, obviously a recovering alcoholic. He's refusing, like, everything. And the final scene, their case failed to, pin the car companies.
Yeah, they're getting all scot-free.
And they're, you know, they're getting away fine. And then he's just, like, downing, like, a bottle of Tito's or something.
I think it was rum.
Oh, well, either way. And then March is like, well, at least you're drinking.
He's like, hey, good for you. You're drinking again. He's like, yeah, feel great.
It's like, oh, this character is... the worse off for interacting with him.
Yeah.
At least you're drinking again. Yeah, feels great.
It's hard to... So, just, like, getting into the characters' backgrounds, like, obviously, they're, like, suffering because Healy had a divorce with his wife because she had an affair with his dad.
That's a great cutaway. Where she's like, Jack... And he's like, And she goes, I'm fucking your dad. And he goes, and, like, spits his water out. And he goes, huh?
Yeah. He has, like, a word of the day calendar. And he, like, what was it? Some, like, calm, equanimity or something like that.
Equanimity.
Yeah. And then he's just like, he accepted the whatever with equanimity. And it cuts away. He's like, pfft. And did it say that, Holly mentions that the house fire happened because Hall and March can't smell anything.
Yeah.
So he feels responsible for his wife's death, and that's where Holly goes to, like, I don't know, hang out. And because they are, like, in a rebuild.
I was very confused, like, I'm like, okay, she's clearly reading before we knew what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, she's reading in this empty lot, but why is she walking in weird, like...
Yeah,
like she's gone through. Like, she's like walking through the house. Yeah,
yeah.
Because she says to I can't.
Yeah,
Healy.
Yeah, so you're standing in the toilet.
Yeah, you're standing. You're currently standing in the toilet.
Oh yeah,
and that's because he like takes his foot out and like shakes it.
Yeah,
off.
Yeah.
It's like now you're tracking water through the house. That's another great character, Holly. She's more confident of a detective than.
She got farther ahead than any household.
And it's funny how she, like, keeps popping up, like, throughout the movie. Like, she, like, hitches a ride in the car to go to the Sid Shad... What's his name?
Shattuck.
Shattuck. Sid Shattuck party, the porno, like, party. Yeah. And then they think that they send her home in a taxi, and Healy's going around investigating, and he sees her in there, and he's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And then...
You shouldn't be watching this.
Yeah. And she deals with John Boy at their house appropriately.
Where, yeah.
Yeah.
Which... I said that when we were watching it. I was like, yeah, I get it. She's like a 13-year-old girl. But she's also probably extremely anxious. And who's to say John Boy is extremely confident approaching her with a knife that she's not going to just slip and just pull the trigger. And he's not wearing body armor, so he's dead if she pulls the trigger. Like, he was extremely overconfident in that situation.
I really like that scene because he shows up and, like, she is, like, starting to be suspicious of him because he's acting weird. And then her friend...
He does have a weird, like, demeanor about him.
Her friend Jessica's like,
very
oh,
slimy.
What's the guy that plays John Boy on the Waltons?
With the hockey puck on his face. And he has a giant mole on his face. Yeah. So it, like, matched the whole...
Yeah, and then at that point, it obviously gave it away that she knew who that was. Or they knew who of him, at least. So obviously, he had to go more on the, oh, well, I've got to kill everybody in the house now.
Yeah.
And then that's something that happens that... later on when he leaves the house and Amelia flees, which she shouldn't have, after she tells them everything that was supposed to transpire and everything, she flees, and then he's driving down the street and she, like, waves him down. He's like, oh wow. And then she just, like, looks in the window and he just blasts her, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
No, I actually forgot about that part.
Me too.
Because I thought that maybe he kidnapped her. But I couldn't remember, and then when she, like, leans in the car, and she's like, bam! Like, I was like, oh, never mind. Yeah, he just murdered her right then and there.
I do love that scene whenever March and Healy get back to the house after crashing the car, and they find out that the suitcase full of money isn't actually money. And they go back to the house, and John Bush is walking, and he's like, hey! And it's like, hey, who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm trying to kill the people in the house. And he pulls out, like, a gun.
Yeah, he pulls out, like, a German submachine gun with a magazine out the side like that.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here to kill Amelia. The action in this movie is also great. I forgot about that. There's only, like, two or three scenes of actually, like,
also,
action.
What, were, like, car trunks lead lined in the 70s? Because, like, John Boy's hiding behind the car trunk, and Healy is firing, like, 380 or 45 bullets, and they're just denting into the thing. I'm like, no, they'd pierce through.
They'd definitely go through.
Yeah, because he's just like this, and it's going, and I'm like, he's dead. Like, there's no way that trunk is
stopping. Well, kind of the same thing with walls, too, like the house walls.
Yeah.
Like, they duck, like, behind the... Like,
yeah, it's, you know, literally the exterior of the house, like, underneath the windows.
Yeah.
Like, they would just be getting, like, pepper.
It would go right through. Like.
Yeah, like, every time that somebody shows me, like, bullet holes, like, hitting walls, and then it's stopping, like, I always think about that scene. Remember the scene in Terminator where he's in the police station? Mm. And the guy runs behind the wall to, like, get away from him, and he's, like, targeting him through the wall, and he goes... and just sprays the wall, and it just all goes through and like hits the guy. I'm like, no, I'm like, that happens.
Yeah,
like,
that one's accurate.
You don't hide behind a wall and just go, oh, I'm safe. Like, no, you're not.
I love in that scene too, whenever Healy's like underneath the window and March just throws the gun and completely sails it
right through the window.
And he's like, what the fuck? Dumps the cookie jar full of bullets and other ammunition out. Yeah. It's hard to talk about the plot of the movie because, as we said, it's so intertwined.
Yeah.
But, like, because they're investigating from, like, one place to the other trying to track Amelia down.
I mean, essentially the plot is they're trying to find Amelia.
Yeah, that's it.
And they're uncovering, like, this
grand
conspiracy underneath it.
A bunch of stuff.
It originally starts because Holland gets hired by some old woman who... The opening of the film is a porn star crashing and dying in a car accident. And
who was her niece?
Yeah, and who is her niece? And she hires him to find her, but he knows that she's dead. But apparently that, like, Amelia is caught up in this, and by happen chance, Amelia hires Healy to protect her. And then after he gets confronted by the blue face guy and Keith David, He goes to Holland and is like, hey, I need you to find Amelia. And he hires him, and that's where their relationship officially starts after he broke his arm.
Yeah.
But that scene, I know you're
He didn't have to break his arm.
No, he didn't have to.
But he kept, like, reaching for his gun. And
yeah, he's like, oh, I'm glad you understand. And then he keeps trying to, like, shoot him. And he's like, are you sure you get it now? He's like, yeah, I get it. He's like, okay, whenever you go to the doctor, tell him that you have
a spiral fracture on
your radial cuff. And he's like, no, no.
He's
like screeching.
But, the screams are the best in this movie.
That leads to the one scene where they take the grand or the aunt of Misty Mountain and they go to her house.
You knew exactly which one I was going to talk about.
And they're like, oh, you know, she saw a projection of her on the window or whatever. And it's like, it's the film. It's the film that has all the shit in it. Yeah. And it's like, wait, I've been following along. Are you saying that my Misty's dead? And he's like, yes! And he's like, oh, yes. Sorry, yes.
I love it.
He just like has no candor.
I've been following along. So does that mean my Misty is dead? Yes! Stop!
It's like, I told you that like multiple times. I swear, I saw her in the window.
And then, don't worry, we're going to bring down the people who killed her. Yes, for a very deeply discounted rate.
That's another great scene whenever they're hired by this...
by Kim Basinger.
Yeah, the head of the Justice Department.
Amelia's mom.
And it's like, well, we aren't hired cheap, and she's writing $10,000 on a check, and he's like, we couldn't do it for less than $5,000, and she just
rips up the check.
I told Aaron I missed that the first time I saw that, and I was like, oh my god, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a great little piece in there where she's writing. Yeah.
So it is odd though that she is kind of. Like, obviously, in that scene when she hires Healy and March, she's like, I want you to protect her because she knows that, like, the people that she's working with are trying to have her killed.
Yeah.
And she's like, my daughter thinks that I'm the government and I'm having all these people killed. And it's like, well, that is actually how it happened, too.
And that's why I say it's very much like Fletch, because Tim Matheson's character, who hires Fletch to kill him because he has a terminal disease, is really the guy behind it. He's just trying to see how deep in he is until he finally confronts him to kill him himself.
I don't want to spoil anything for Mike because I know he hasn't watched it yet, but also very similar to Knives Out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I forgot about that
movie. Yeah. It's great.
Yes.
That movie is great. I'm not saying anything, but... I guarantee before the end of the year we'll have watched it and reviewed
it. We'll watch it again.
Yeah, that's one I'm kind of surprised hasn't been said yet.
Yeah, it's very good. I just love mystery movies. And like,
I mean, so do I, so...
Yes, The Last Jedi is my favorite mystery movie of all time. Because I still don't know what happened!
Don't you think Attack of the Clones is your favorite mystery movie of all time?
Yes, better than Blade Runner. Tell me I'm wrong.
I tried watching.
I hate both those movies, so I really can't.
Obi-Wan's a better detective than Rick Deckard. There, I said it.
That's the only good thing about Attack of the Clones.
That is that storyline. That storyline is literally it.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the nice guys.
Yes,
we're not talking about Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, I really wish that I'm gonna write Shane Black a letter and be like, make Nice Guys 2.
Are you writing him a letter from the 70s, or are you going to send him an email?
I'm going to write him a letter.
You guys deliver it by carrier pigeon, too?
Yeah.
Put a pack of Necco wafers with him. Dear Shane Black.
Please make Nice Guys too.
Here's a pack of Necco wafers.
You'd probably be surprised at how much fan mail they probably still do get.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you know, that's something that I never think about anymore, is like fan mail. Like, do people actually get that or not? Or is it just like sent through...
There are YouTubers and streamers like that have like PO Box specifically because people want to send them stuff and like letters and things. So like they'll have like mail opening like videos or streams just because...
I thought that like letter writing was a dead thing anymore.
No.
Nobody ever sends any letters.
Except the IRS.
except the IRS and jury duty. Assholes.
I'm 31 years old. I've never been called for jury duty.
You spoke it out now.
Yeah.
Letters in the mail. Letters in the mail.
Checks in the mail.
I've been summoned and selected twice.
Wow.
So that's great.
Yeah.
First one
they don't have confidence in me.
I guess not.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Back to the nice guys.
Back to the nice guys.
Do we have anything else we want to add to it, or?
I mean, it's kind of hard to really explain any more about it without just giving away the whole movie. I mean, obviously we just said spoilers anyway.
But I've already forgot half the movie since last night, so.
It's just slowly being drained.
I'm like, yes, Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe are great, and then everything else is just...
Wait, who's in this movie?
The best part about the movie is obviously the chemistry between Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe.
Yes, our three main characters are great.
And Holly, too.
Yeah.
She's great, too.
Yeah, she becomes pretty prominent.
The set pieces, too, like the Sid Shattuck house, the car expo, like those places are
great. Yeah, the hotel and all that.
Oh, yeah, the hotel. I always forget about that.
Which, I get, well, the hotel is conjoined to the car show.
Yeah, and obviously the set piece of the attack on his rental home in...
Yeah.
I do love how that kind of... It kind of harkens back to that scene where he's like, Healy's beating up on March. He's like, you can live like this as a PI? And he's like, you have something to say? It's like, oh, right. And then it comes out that it's just a rental and they're rebuilding their house, but they're not actually rebuilding their house. So
yeah,
they're just kind of in the dumps. And he spends like, he like blows all of the paycheck that they get on like a nice new suit, booze and everything. It's like, wow.
We wouldn't have been on time, but we had to stop at the bar.
that's another quick thing that I wanted to talk about was the Sid Shattuck house, where he gets shit-faced there, and then literally dives into the pool to, like, swim after the mermaid, and then whenever he goes out and he's, like, flirting with the one girl, he's like, shoot me, and then he, like, rolls off the balcony and rolls down the fucking hill to find Sid Shattuck dead at the bottom of the hill. And then Russell Crowe's like, did you tumble down the hill? And he's like, no. And he's like, you fell down that fucking hill, didn't you? You rolled down that hill. He's like, what the hell were you doing up there? And he's like, I was doing my job.
It was slippery.
Yeah, yeah,
up it was there.
Slippery. I was in the pool. He's like, you were in the pool? And he's like, yeah, I had to question the mermaids. And then he's like, what were you doing while I was working?
Yeah.
And then they're carrying Sid Shattuck's body. And then they take it over to a fence, and he's like, all right, he's like, hoist him up, and then they dump it, and then it immediately cuts to a family eating at their like backyard table, and he just bam, just right through the table, and then he's like, run. And they just
another part I like how that scene kind of like ties into the climax of the movie, whenever March falls off the roof into the pool, and Healy's like, did you fall? And he's like, yep. And he just like keeps going.
Yep.
He's like, yep, I fell off the top of the hotel.
He should have been dead.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, hitting the water.
Hitting that water would have
not felt great anyway.
Well, he probably hit terminal velocity, I would imagine. Keith David sure as hell did.
Yeah, he
splattered.
I like whenever he's like, I'll leave. You'll never see my face again. He's like, where will you go? Michigan. He's like, all right, that works for me. Which is funny because, like, obviously Detroit is like who's hiring
all
these
right.
people anyway. So he's like, oh yeah, I'll just go back to Detroit.
I didn't put that together.
Yeah, and obviously he comes back at the end. Anyway.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you lied and you died for it. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a heck of a lot more to say.
Think I've said my piece about it.
Yeah. The music's great too.
It's hilarious.
The music's great. Yeah, it's just a super funny movie.
Yeah.
Very, very funny.
Very memorable. In my talk, for sure.
Very memorable for...
But also
three
very
weeks.
Forgettable.
And then I'll forget the entire plot.
That's what's going to keep me rewatching it, though.
Yeah. So it takes me back every time.
Maybe,
it's funny, though, because, like, I can, like, tell you exactly the plot of, like, Knives Out or, like, other mystery movies. It's like, oh, yeah. So that's kind of, like, the default or, like, the downside of mystery movies. It's like... They're really good the first time you watch them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not good, you see them again, but like
you
can't watch it like you did the first time where you're like learning the mystery and everything. Unless it's a movie like this.
Well, and I think the difference between that and Knives Out is Knives Out had... They told you what happened from the get-go. That, you know, things happened and you're like, oh, we already know what happened. But there's things that get sprinkled in because you don't know who had something to do with it or if it was just a fucking mistake, which is the nice part about that movie. And that works well. But in this, you're still trying to figure out, like, you're Charlie Day in Always Sunny with like all the yarn going to like different people in this movie, at least until the end, and you're like, okay, that's it.
Charlie Day, our new Luigi.
We could do an entire show just on that.
what the fuck?
People are okay with that casting. They're not so much.
I'm all right with Luigi. Yeah. I mean, brief tangent. So Luigi is Luigi. I'm pretty much fine with all the casting, with the exceptions of Chris Pratt as Mario, because what the fuck, and Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong.
I don't know. That one doesn't bother me.
Yeah. That one just doesn't make sense to me.
That one doesn't.
Like what?
That one makes more sense to me than Chris Pratt even.
Well,
because
I think
Seth Rogen was Pumbaa. So like,
yeah, I guess that's
he plays
why
like
an
animalistic,
yeah.
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 Like he's kind of already done that, so.
And maybe he'll say not funny, didn't laugh.
Yeah, that would be great.
Maybe he'll do the DK rap.
I think that Jack Black as Bowser's gonna be.
Oh, that's gonna be hilarious.
Yeah, but.
I mean, I'm not that mad about Chris Pratt. I'm kind of surprised people are.
It's just so fucking
mad.
Weird.
It is weird, but it's also weird because. The guy that's voiced Mario and Luigi and a billion other characters.
Yeah, Charles Martinet.
Yeah, is in the movie as, like, surprise.
Yeah, just cameos. Oh, and Keegan-Michael Key is Toad, like...
Bye-bye!
Yeah, is he gonna talk, or is he just gonna go...
Toad talks quite a bit.
Maybe it's like Snoop Dogg playing Cousin It.
Yeah, maybe. He's like,
where you have no idea.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. You have no idea.
Adam's Family movies.
I haven't seen those.
Yeah, he voices Cousin It. They pitch correct his... He literally just says, like, blah, 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 and they, like, pitch correct his shit to make it sound stupid.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, that's pretty much...
So Vin Diesel?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
You'd never know.
All right.
So there was your
Now you have our opinions on the Mario movie castings. Consensus, we hate it in one way or another.
I don't know. I think it'll be all right.
This is about to become round two of bully the movie. Internet bullies the movie studio to recast.
Well, I don't think that will happen because like the Sonic thing was so egregious.
I mean, that was just a visual thing. It wasn't even a casting.
No,
thing.
Yeah, no.
Like maybe if like the movie came out and it looked. Like shit like that, people would probably freak out. But yeah, Sonic just what I don't even know what they were thinking with that.
Yeah.
But anyway,
good movie though. I remember more about Sonic than I do most movies.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Back to
what were we talking about? I forgot what movie we.
I think we're about to rate The Nice Guys.
Oh, The Nice Guys. I like that movie, but I don't remember what happens in it.
And it's gone.
It was there, now it's.
I'll start if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
I rated it even higher this time because on my Letterboxd I had it a 4 out of 5 stars and I rated it 5 out of 5 this time. So I don't know if that translates well to 10. I'll just say 9.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Just because I don't think it's a perfect 10 out of 10, but
yeah.
It's damn close. Like, it's really close. It's great.
It's definitely up there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna give it that high just because it was the first time I've seen it. But I mean, I'll give it a solid 8 out of 10. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I am gonna second Sean's 9.5 out of 10.
I just need to watch it 3 more times.
Everything he said, music, writing, casting, chemistry between characters, everything is damn near perfect.
And
just the setting of it being like in 70s Hollywood like that.
I'm very ignorant when it comes to Ryan Gosling, apparently. I didn't know he was this damn funny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ryan Gosling's great. Like, in the past few years, I've learned that Ryan Gosling is...
Like, literally the only movie I think I've seen him in that I can think of is The Notebook.
I've never seen that movie, so...
Yeah. I've seen Blade Runner. I've seen La La Land. I've seen...
Yeah.
Well, this movie.
For a stretch there, he was doing like these hyper violent movies, like Drive, and I forget there was another one after that where he was like he barely said anything, but he would like fuck people up.
Wow.
And and now Blade Runner, he's excellent in that movie, and obviously this, he's great. But he's hilarious.
Yeah, I had no idea, so I might have to go down a Ryan Gosling
rabbit hole.
Yeah.
All right, there you have it. our review and discussion of The Nice Guys 2016 by Shane Black.
If you couldn't keep up, that's good, because we couldn't either. So we're all just on like the same page.
Yeah. We have another recommendation coming at you by myself. And as you know, it's beginning to be spooky season.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So,
wondered who would be the first.
Yes, yes. Well, the way that our schedule's set up, we could have multiple scary movies. Well, I don't know if I'll call it scary, but multiple Halloween-themed movies.
Yeah, almost one pick per person.
If I don't piss my pants, at least one. They're not scary.
But I've been on this animation kick recently, too, so I'm going to recommend two movies, and Aaron's going to hate me for one of them. But for the next time, we'll be watching Nightmare Before Christmas and Corpse Bride.
You know what? I'm not even mad. No. No, I like both of them.
I know that I have not seen the entirety of The Nightmare Before Christmas. I've only seen, like, a portion of it.
Okay, and I feel better, because I've never seen it.
Corpse Bride, I've seen the first third and the last third, but I haven't seen the middle.
I appreciate both of these movies for the stop motion animation, because I used to do that shit, and it is painstaking, and every time I watch it, I'm like, this took forever to make. And that's one reason why I really appreciate it. No, I'm excited about this one. I'm excited to delve into it.
Yes, it's finally time that I watch it.
I think both of them are available on Disney Plus.
They are.
Movies. Yeah.
So, yeah.
They're not Tim Burton movies, though.
One of them is. Isn't Corpse Bride?
Might be.
I'm pretty sure Corpse Bride is.
I thought the
Nightmare Before Christmas is not.
I thought it was.
No, Nightmare Before Christmas was Tim Burton's character designs.
Mm.
Henry Selick had everything to do with it.
Okay.
After you watch this, watch the...
We had this discussion when we talked about James and the Giant Peach, remember?
Yeah.
Because it's the same production company.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about this movie, so it just went right out of my head.
Watch that, then James and the Giant Peach, then Corpse Bride. We're going to do the Selick trilogy.
So, guys, if you don't want to be spoiled for Nightmare Before Christmas or Corpse Bride, make sure to watch them before next episode. Thank you for watching or listening. I hope you enjoyed it. We enjoyed talking about it. Like, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff, and we'll catch you in the next one. Should we do a blood-curdling scream?
No.
No.
I'm already half deaf. That's the last thing I need.